pastor had known that somebody in his congregation had violated one of the Ten Commandments. It was flagrant. He did not know what to do and how to have this delicate conversation. So he came up with a plan that he would just stand before the congregation and say, "I know that one of you have broken one of the Ten Commandments, and it's very serious, and I just want you to know that I'm bringing that to your attention. You need to give an account of that, and I also want you to put a $100 bill in the offering today." The pastor's message was successful. In fact, the offering plates were filled with $100 bills that day. Today, we continue in our series, Fire in the Bones. And this is one series that likely each week connects with the previous week and will connect with the next week. And so what we will hear today is about fire in the bones, God's laws that He's given us to live by. And next week we'll hear the important part of that message of we only are by the grace of God saved. And so today we focus on the law. Last week it was about the Word of God is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it can separate soul from spirit. God's Word is sharp and it is double-edged. It can comfort those who are afflicted and it can afflict the comfortable. It can do both. The Word of God is alive. And today, we continue on this message that the Word shapes the world, not the other way around. We may think that our times are different today, and there's always been that voice that says, well, times are different now. But there are teachings of God that transcend time. And the Word shapes the world, not the other way around. And when we violate the Word, we have to pay consequences for that. So this is true in this series. The Word shapes the world. And that is certainly true with these Ten Commandments. Thank you, Charlie, for elevating the scripture reading today, the Word of God, with these Ten Commandments and challenging us to hear them, receive them, live them in the way that you read them. Today, I want to just remind us that these teachings that God brought to the world to shape the world, not the other way around. God continues to shape the world through His commands. And so these Ten Commandments, they are as true today as they were when they were given to Moses with Israel in the wilderness. They'll be true 2,000 years from now. And they are certainly true today. So let's take a look at these Ten Commandments and what they actually say. By the way, I would like to engage you in a little bit of a pop quiz. And this is okay. I want you to not look at your Bible for once. And I want you to tell me commandment number one. You will have no other gods before me. Commandment number two, not make a graven image, no idols. Number three, no, do not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Okay, Joe, you're showing them on the screens. I want them to go from memory. Thank you. And I appreciate Joe. Joe actually sent me a note yesterday saying you listed coveting twice in your commandments. So I don't know. Maybe that needs our attention. All right, we're at number 4. Remember Sabbath day and keep it holy. Number 5, honor your father and mother. Number 6, you shall not murder. Number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Number 8, are y'all still with me? All right, good, good, good. That you would not steal. Next one, that you would not lie or bear false witness. And number 10, that you would not covet. And I believe we covered them all. We stopped and started some. But I'd like for you today to commit those to memory if you do not already have them in memory. Because we as a society, we're concerned, and rightfully so, that these Ten Commandments are posted in our community, in the courthouses, and in the various places. But let me share with you what you already know. If they are in our hearts, they are wherever we go. So if these commandments of God are in our hearts, they are in our schools, they are in our courts, they are in wherever we go in our community, if we've memorized them and if we live them and if we share them, these commandments will change the world. The first commandment is about having no other God before God. So the simple teaching is if there's any person or anything in our life that comes before the Lord, we're violating this commandment. Jesus said it this way, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So we can hear these commandments as a prohibition, only a prohibition, thou shalt not, but we can also hear it from a standpoint of invitation. That if we will honor God first, then all of his righteousness will accompany us. The second commandment is not having any graven image, no idols. We hear that from a context of we do not have any sacred cows, do we? As they did in the day of Moses. But think about it, we do. There are more sacred cows now than there were in the day of Moses. If there is any object, any possession, anything that we honor more than the Lord, it is violating that second commandment. The third commandment, you should not take the name of the Lord God in vain. You know, this commandment's not getting a lot of attention these days. I hear the name of the Lord more in vain than I've ever heard in my life. I hear movies that are pretty well written having to use so many expletives, I don't understand it. Why you take a good movie script and why you fill it with expletives? Is it a really good movie script if it has to have loaded with expletives? And it's not just the expletives, the profanity, it's the irreverence to the Almighty God. This commandment is being violated at an epidemic proportion, and nobody's really saying anything about it. It is wrong to use the name of the Lord in vain. It is wrong to be irreverent with the name of the Lord. Jesus said it like this, "You do not cast pearls to the swine, because if you do, you'll be torn apart." We do not give that which is sacred to the swine. And if we do, we'll have consequences to pay. Commandment number 4. We might say, well, we're in church today. We're keeping this one. This may be the commandment that is broken the most, and we give the least thought to it. Have we spent a day focusing on the Lord? Have we spent a day in prayer, reading God's word, reorienting our life for the week, which is the way the Sabbath was given to us? And again, it wasn't just given as a prohibition, it was also given as a gift to us. Jesus said, the Sabbath was not made for man, but man was made for the Sabbath. It's to our benefit to take a day and to reflect and walk with God. This commandment is so easily violated. Worshiping will improve our life. Study after study tells us that if we spend our life with one day a week in worship, we will live with less stress, lower blood pressure, less worry. And that's just the gift of the Sabbath. And God wants us to know that gift and the life through honoring the Sabbath. Honoring your father and mother. Disrespect of parents is foundational to consequences in our society that are not what they need to be. It all begins with honoring our father and mother, respecting the ones who brought us into this world, to honor them, that our days, and this one comes with a promise, that our days would be long, to honor our father and mother. We're not to murder. And we quickly just check that box and say, well, I've never murdered anyone. But remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He said that if we're angry at someone, and if we harbor anger, we commit murder in our thoughts. And so if we have anger that is out of control, if we have anger toward another person, it's a murderous spirit. Jesus challenges us not even to have murder in our thoughts, much less in our actions. You shall not commit adultery. Again, Jesus said this is not just someone that practices inappropriate relationships outside of marriage, but it is someone that thinks lustful thoughts. And so there's a way of violating this commandment all the time. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Respecting what belongs to other people is a sacred trust, to where we respect other people's property and treat it as if, or we'd want to do unto our neighbor as we'd want them to have done unto us. And that we would respect that which belongs to another person. Theirs. And envy and stealing is closely related. That we should not bear false witness. That we should tell the truth. We know the consequences that happen when lies are told. When a person's life becomes a lie, we know the consequences. But we also know the liberation of telling the truth. And Jesus says the truth will set you free. This basic commandment to not bear false witness is so huge for us today. How much in social media, how many times is this commandment violated, to not bear false witness? How many times is the worth of other people violated through misuse of social media? The command has never changed. The technology has changed, but the command has never changed. You shall not bear false witness. Jesus said it like this, said, by your words, you're justified, and by your words, you're condemned. These words are strong. And then not to covet. Not to covet. How many of us break this commandment? We cannot really count the blessings that God has given us because we're so preoccupied with what other people have. And it has invaded our very spirit and outlook of life that we cannot see life beyond what other people have. And all the while, we're called to God to a life of gratitude for what God has given us, for this precious gift of life that He's given us. And so somehow we violate this commandment. We think nothing of it to be focused on other people's lives and not all the blessings of our own life. So this strong teaching is the last of the commandment, but one not to be missed, to not covet what other people have, but to focus on our blessings and all that God has blessed us with. So these are the big ten. These are the big ten that have always been, that God says, if you live these commands, your life will be blessed because you live them. Three things I want to say about the Ten Commandments today. First of all, they are an authoritative word, and they are God's unchanging principles. Our times change. There's so many fads that come and go, but these principles, these truths do not change. And so for the church, for Christians, for disciples, these are core tenets. We build our lives around these ten principles. We seek to live them. We seek to teach them. We seek to live them. We seek to follow deeper into our discipleship, into understanding what they mean in our everyday life, like Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, you've heard it said of those of old, you shall not murder, but I say to you, whoever's angry has committed murder in their heart. You've heard it said, whoever commits adultery is in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman with lust has committed adultery. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, turn the other cheek. Resist those who strike you on one cheek. Turn the other. These are teachings that Jesus gives that fulfills these commands. So the first thing we would say about these Ten Commandments is, and I know it's popular these days to say, well, times are different. We just have to get with it. But not on these teachings. These teachings are unchanging. These teachings are authoritative. And if we live these, we will be blessed. And if we do not live them, we will be cursed. The second thing that can be said is that living these Ten Commandments is a blessing. Living these Ten Commandments is a blessing. God gives these Ten Commandments as thou shalt not. We hear that, thou shalt not. But they're also a word of how we should live, an invitation to know life, abundant life. As we put it in a sports vernacular, you can play defense with these Ten Commandments and say, I hope I don't violate these Ten Commandments, or we can play offense. And we can say, I'm going to put these commandments into practice so that I can move into my life and I can live the life that God wants me to live. So I choose to put God first. I choose not to have idols. I choose not to use profanity and be irreverent with God's name. I choose to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And honor my father and mother, and not to murder in thought or action, not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to lie, not to covet. I choose that because it's a better life. God's laws are a blessing. They help me align with where God wants me to live and how God wants me to live. And thirdly, these laws, these Ten Commandments, are fulfilled in the teachings of Jesus. An easy way that we can remember these Ten Commandments is that the first four deal with our relationship with God. The last six deal more with our relationship with our neighbor. The first four teach us about honoring God and God being first. The last six teach us about how we relate and live with one another. And Jesus, in his day, was peppered, and he was always called into question by the religious people of the day because they had allowed all these many laws, these hundreds and thousands of laws, to mangle the spiritual life. And Jesus said very simply, two laws. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, quoting from Deuteronomy, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So as you're remembering these Ten Commandments you learned in your childhood today, as you're memorizing these Ten Commandments because it's been a while since you've really thought about what they said, think about Jesus' command, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You'll be well on your way to living these Ten Commandments. Now, what's at stake here? Is there anything at stake with keeping or not keeping these Ten Commandments? Is there anything at stake by keeping or not keeping these Ten Commandments? Our very souls are at stake. Our very church is at stake. Our very community is at stake. Our nation, our world is at stake in keeping these Ten Commandments. You say, how in the world is that so? You don't follow these Ten Commandments. Your home, it's not going to be the home that it needs to be. It's going to be one big hot mess if these Ten Commandments aren't in your home. This community, we want to see the crime rate lowered. If we want to see the murder rate go down, if we want to see love among neighbor like it's never been before, we'll live these commandments. There's a lot at stake, isn't there? There's a lot at stake in our homes, in our community, in our church. We sure need to apply these principles in our church, that every one of these 10 requirements of God is what's important here in the life of our church. And we'll be the church God wants us to be if we live these 10 commandments. And as we are Christ's disciples in our nation, we'll have a better nation. We'll have a better world. There's a good bit at stake with these Ten Commandments. I'd say our marriages, our homes, our communities, our churches, our nation and our world depend on living these Ten Commandments that God gave 2,000 years ago, and he gives 2,000 years from now, and he calls for us to live these commandments today. There's a fire in my bones, Jeremiah says. And I believe that is a fire in the bones for our time today. Live these commands of God. Live them. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the teachings of the Ten Commandments. Now we pray for any that are here that have any of these commandments that are not being lived. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for repentance. We pray for that desire in our heart to be filled with your grace. We thank you for the death of Jesus Christ to die for our sins and offer himself for us on the cross for our sins. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that gives us power when we're weak, and for your grace that is always sufficient. And now lead us as we seek to be your people. We do seek to be the people, have the homes, to have the church and the community and the nation and the world that honors and pleases you and says unequivocally, there are no other gods before you. We seek to worship you and we seek to live for you. We pray this in the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Amen.